Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcasts at home is quite easy. You could use a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast, but it's simpler to use a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports and find advice for listening to shortwave at home. Please check out the website and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, France 24, and NHK World Radio Japan. We will begin with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. Trump said that he would like to incorporate the Panama Canal and Greenland into U.S. territory. While some in the U.S. consider this distraction politics, the notions have raised concern in the rest of the world. An interview with Victoria Herman, a senior fellow at the Arctic Institute, discussing why Greenland has been of military and economic interest to the U.S. for 100 years. She describes the independence movement on the island and the desire for marketing resources. Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau announced his resignation that will not take effect until Parliament reconvenes at the end of March. Radio Deutsche Welle found that the German government has cut funding to several human rights organizations that have been critical of Israeli actions in the current war in Palestine. One of the groups defunded is New Profile, an Israeli movement which supports conscientious objectors and the civilian society. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has refused to rule out military force to gain control of both the Panama Canal and Greenland. Since winning the election, Trump has repeatedly expressed his desire to take over the strategically important waterway and island. During his first term in office, Trump expressed an interest in buying Greenland, which is an autonomous territory of Denmark, a longtime U.S. ally and NATO member. But the governments of Greenland and Denmark have repeatedly rebuffed his offers. Victoria Herman is a senior fellow at the Arctic Institute, a nonprofit dedicated to Arctic security research. She joins me now. So I guess the question is, how seriously should Denmark take Donald Trump's remarks about buying or seizing Greenland?
We should take Donald Trump seriously at his remarks because he has been interested in Greenland, not just for the past few days, but for the past few years. Greenland has been an area of interest to the United States for over 100 years, not to purchase or to invade, but to partner with. Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark are a strategic ally of the United States, militarily, economically, and culturally. In this conversation, we forget that Greenland is a homeland to 56,000 people, and they should just as much be part of the conversation as any politician here in D.C.
So how exactly do you justify or explain Trump's interest in Greenland? Is it because of natural resources?
Greenland is rich in natural resources, in cultural heritage, and in leadership. The people of Greenland have created a diverse and robust economy, and they are moving towards independence. The incoming president may see this as an opportunity for particular economic endeavors like rare earth minerals, but what is lost here is a strong strategic partner, not just for rare earth minerals, but for fisheries and to build up an Arctic economy that can withstand the rapid changes that we're seeing because of climate change.
Now, Denmark says Greenland isn't for sale, so is that the end of the matter?
It is never the end of the matter with the incoming president, but Greenland is not for sale, and it is not only for the Kingdom of Denmark to state this, but from the Prime Minister of Greenland and the government of Greenland to say. Greenland has been very strong in its ambition to become independent from the Kingdom of Denmark. In 2008, over 75% of Greenlanders voted in a referendum for independence. So it's not just the Kingdom of Denmark that we should be listening to, but more importantly, the government of Greenland.
Now, we have seen in the past that Donald Trump is willing to use sanctions and other measures to put economic pressure on both partners and what he perceives as enemies of the U.S. So are there any points of leverage that he could have over Denmark or Greenland?
The United States is one of the world's largest economies. It is the world's largest military. There are lots of levers that the United States can use, but should it? Absolutely not. Greenland, by function of being within the Kingdom of Denmark, is a party to NATO. They are our allies. To use armed force, to use sanction, would not just be going against another nation state, it would be going against a strong ally that is desperately needed as we see increased tensions across Europe.
All right, that was Victoria Herman with the Arctic Institute. Thank you very much for your analysis.
In the last hour, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced that he will resign as Liberal Party leader, bowing to growing pressure from within the party. Mr. Trudeau said infighting meant it was clear he wasn't the best choice to lead the party into general elections this year. He'll remain as Prime Minister until a new party leader is chosen. Justin Trudeau has led Canada for almost a decade. Recent polling indicates he's become deeply unpopular. Polls are indicating 73% of Canadians want him to step down. Here's part of his resignation speech.
I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process. Last night, I asked the president of the Liberal Party to begin that process. This country deserves a real choice in the next election, and it has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election.
Well, an investigation by DW has found that the German government has quietly cut funding for several human rights organizations that have often been critical of Israel's actions in the war in Gaza. Since the Hamas terror attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, politicians in Germany have repeatedly emphasized that Israel's security is part of Germany's Staatsräson, or reason of state. DW's investigative team has more.
We are in the Israeli city of Be'er Sheva, just 40 kilometers from Gaza. Sergei Sendler cannot fathom why German officials cut the funding of his NGO.
I don't know if it's been done so on purpose, but it's definitely been an intervention that was timed to deliver the most possible damage to our work.
Sendler works with the Israeli human rights organization New Profile. It supports conscientious objectors who risk imprisonment in Israel. Since Israel launched the war in Gaza following Hamas terror attack in October 2023, New Profile has received ever more requests for support, Sendler says.
We're catering to a real need by many people, including many people who have served in the Israeli military and realized that they can't continue doing so, often for ethical reasons.
Since 2023, their work was funded by the German government through a partner NGO. After having been vetted by the Foreign Office, they had signed a 3-year contract. But shortly after they learned, they had been defunded.
We are under enormous pressure all the time from the far right in Israel. But okay, what is the German government's business imposing the ideological demands of the Israeli government on Israeli citizens? What is the German government's business trying to silence dissent, not even inside its own country?
The decision was made by the German Foreign Office. Under Annalena Baerbock, it has repeatedly emphasized Germany's commitment to human rights. The ministry confirmed the defunding, but didn't provide DW or the NGOs with any official reason. Just The Foreign Office examines all projects for which federal funds are used in accordance with legal requirements.
The defunding didn't just happen to New Profile. We know of at least one other Israeli human rights organization that had been supported by Germany for years, and several Palestinian ones that also lost their German funding recently.
That interview and reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com, as well as on YouTube at their channels called DW News and DW Documentary. They're also available at most podcast sites. Next, France 24. A very interesting week for international press reviews. First, a Panama paper says that Trump's threats show imperialism continues. Then a Danish and a Greenland paper have different takes on the U.S. interest in Greenland. Elon Musk is getting many headlines in the European press, from his dissipated support for British right-wing leader Nigel Farage to his attacks on the Prime Minister Starmer. Then a report on the Musk versus Starmer and the UK government. French President Macron accused Musk of supporting a new reactionary international movement. Finally, press reviews on the end of fact-checking on the Meta applications. France 24.
Let's start in Panama, where La Prensa has this article describing Donald Trump's ambitions on the Panama Canal as a sign that colonialism is still alive and kicking at the door of Panama. And this article says that there is nothing to say that Donald Trump's comments should be taken lightly. In Denmark, on the front page of Extra Bladet, a tabloid, you have the headline, Trump's Dirty Plan. Now, in Greenland, in this paper, Simitsiak, you have a slightly different take. This is a Greenlandic people who are welcoming the visit of Trump's son to Greenland, saying it draws attention to the resources and opportunities that Greenland has and might wake up the Danish government to the things that the Greenlanders have been fighting for, including salary equality and better working conditions that they say are not the same in Greenland as they are in mainland Denmark. The headline is, the US could play a part in our independence if we want them to. So quite interesting, a little bit of an unexpected take from the Greenlandic press.
Start in the United Kingdom, actually, where Elon Musk has made headlines this time because of his lack of support for Nigel Farage.
It's all over the British front pages this morning, Eve, whether it be the more right-wing publications like The Telegraph, who have the headline Musk turns on Farage, or left, like The Guardian, reporting that Musk has said that Reform UK needs a new leader. It looked, to all intents and purposes, as if the two were the best of friends over the last 2 weeks. So what's changed? Well, the billionaire has turned on Farage after the Reform leader distanced himself from Musk's support of Tommy Robinson. And this morning, this opinion piece in The Telegraph says that this is Farage's smartest move yet. The feud, as I say, centres around Robinson, whose real name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon, an anti-Islam campaigner, also a convicted criminal, currently serving 18 months in prison. This article notes that people who like Farage tend to like Robinson. The irony is that Farage doesn't like Robinson at all. He says he walked away from UKIP in 2018 over its obsession with Islam and Robinson, making it clear in the years since that Robinson absolutely would not be welcome in Reform. This piece says, forget the 100 billion that Musk has promised Reform. For every far-right vote the party courts, it loses 10,000 moderates, adding that an alignment between Robinson and Reform would be morally unconscionable. This is The Times, who reports that Musk's friendship with Trump puts PM Keir Starmer in a rather difficult position. The world's richest man has escalated his rhetoric against Starmer recently, saying that he's complicit in the rape of Britain. The PM is expected to respond today. But the concern in number 10 is that meeting fire with fire will only escalate the row further and give Musk more oxygen. And the importance of retaining good relations with Trump cannot be overstated.
For months, the attacks from Elon Musk on the UK government have come thick and fast. The world's richest man has used his social network X to demand Prime Minister Keir Starmer be imprisoned, to call for new elections, and propose in an online poll that America should liberate the people of Britain from their tyrannical government. Recently, Musk has focused on child sex abuse, accusing Starmer of failing to bring perpetrators of South Asian origin to justice when he was Britain's top prosecutor, in a series of cases that rocked the country between 1997 and 2013. On Monday, Starmer finally responded.
A line has been crossed. I enjoy the cut and thrust of politics, the robust debate that we must have. But that's got to be based on facts and truth, not on lies.
But Starmer is not Elon Musk's only focus in Britain. On Sunday, he made a public U-turn on Nigel Farage, saying he should quit as leader of the Anti-Immigration Reform UK party. Only last month, Farage said that Musk was considering making a multi-million dollar donation to his party. But the two men appear to have fallen out over Tommy Robinson, one of Britain's best-known far-right agitators. In London, Musk's meddling in the country's politics is proving unpopular.
There's an outside body who's got private interests that we don't understand and we don't know.
I'd rather he'd stayed out of politics, personally. He's drifted into German politics as well, so you have to ask why.
Elon Musk has also been stirring up trouble in other parts of Europe, endorsing the far-right AfD party in Germany ahead of snap elections there.
The crucial point is that Mr. Musk has supported some right-wing extremist parties, and as you can see, is not only acting this way in this country.
Musk has also waded in on domestic affairs in Italy, where he's a close supporter of Giorgia Meloni. On Monday, France's Emmanuel Macron accused him of supporting a new reactionary international movement.
Mark Zuckerberg's Meta taking the drastic step of rolling back its fact-checking service in what appears to be a move bowing to the new Trump administration.
Yeah, that's at least according to The Guardian in its editorial today. The Guardian saying that Meta already did too little when it came to content moderation. Now it's promising to do even less. And this decision to essentially kill off the fact-checking service across Facebook, Instagram and WhatsApp, Mark Zuckerberg is ingratiating himself with the next Trump administration. Concretely, it also means these kind of changes will allow for people to, for instance, call others mentally ill based on their sexuality or gender identity. This decision, Meta says, came because of accusations of overreach by content moderators. Now, as The Guardian notes in its cartoon as well, it does look like Mark Zuckerberg is trying to win favors or curry favors with the next Trump administration. It's also a case of killing two birds with one stone. He gets to cut costs. He also gets to cozy up to Donald Trump. This comes at a time when Donald Trump will soon have the power to kill or not and a federal antitrust case against Meta, but also release regulatory pressure on big tech and also facilitate AI. So all these kind of decisions coming at this moment in time when Meta has taken this decision to kill fact-checking. For the Economist, though, there could be some upsides. The Economist says whatever the reasons for this, they're certainly not very good. They're craven, as the Economist says, but speech online needs to urgently become freer, and this will shore up America's democracy against whatever challenges lays ahead in the future.
Those reports were from France 24, which may be easily found at their website, france24.com, as well as a YouTube channel called France 24 English, as well as most podcast sites, as is the Shortwave Report. If you have questions or comments about the Shortwave Report or could help support this program, like an involved member of KDRT, where the grassroots grow, in my alma mater of Davis, California, did this week, then you can look for the link for online donations at my website, outfarpress.com, or you could write to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Many, many thanks to everyone who's ever helped keep this freely distributed show airborne. Please join the fun. And if you're listening on a public radio station, please, they need your support as well. We will conclude with NHK World Radio Japan. in response to Biden canceling the sale of U.S. Steel to Nippon Steel, both companies filed a lawsuit. The World Health Organization say cases of human metapneumovirus, HMPV, are rising in China but within an expected range. Indonesia is the first Southeast Asian country to have full membership in the BRICS Economic Group. Vietnam has the third largest trading surplus with the U.S. The Euro-Asia group says that 2025 will be the most geopolitically dangerous year since the Cold War. NHK Japan.
Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel have filed a lawsuit to challenge a decision by U.S. President Joe Biden to block the takeover of the American company. Japan's biggest steelmaker called the Biden move illegal political interference at a press conference on Tuesday in Tokyo. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS, has reviewed the acquisition for national security issues but failed to reach a consensus. It then went to the president, who blocked the takeover last week, citing national security concerns. Nippon Steel Chairman Hashimoto Eiji says the planned acquisition would strengthen U.S. national security, not harm it. The lawsuit alleges Biden and CFIUS violated the constitutional guarantee of due process. It names as respondents Biden and Janet Yellen, chairperson of CFIUS. A White House spokesperson told NHK that experts determined this acquisition would create risk for American national security, which President Biden will never hesitate to protect. The steelmakers also filed a separate lawsuit against rival firm Cleveland-Cliffs and leader of the Steelworkers Union, David McCall. Nippon Steel says Cleveland-Cliffs wants to prevent competition in the U.S. market to protect its market share. The suit alleges that Cleveland-Cliffs and McCall urged Biden to block the deal.
President Biden responded to this lobbying for political reasons. And as a result of illegal political intervention, the CFIUS review process was not properly carried out, resulting in this executive order, which is completely unacceptable.
McCall calls those allegations baseless and says his team is reviewing the complaint. Meanwhile, President-elect Donald Trump reiterated his opposition to the takeover. Trump wrote on social media on Monday, "Why would they want to sell U.S. Steel now when tariffs will make it a much more profitable and valuable company?"
The U.S. steel industry is in an extremely difficult situation, and it is hard to think of a better way to strengthen the industry than this acquisition. I don't think the tariff policy alone will strengthen the industry.
Hashimoto added that Nippon Steel and U.S. Steel will take all necessary legal measures to realize the acquisition.
The World Health Organization says cases of human metapneumovirus, or HMPV, are rising in China. However, it says the increase is within the range expected for this time of year. The virus usually causes symptoms similar to the common cold, such as fever and coughs, but it can become severe for vulnerable groups such as infants and the elderly. Chinese media outlets have been reporting on the increase in HMPV since late last year. Infections have also been confirmed in India and Indonesia. The WHO referred to the cases in China in its report on respiratory infections in the Northern Hemisphere released on Tuesday. It said HMPV is among the acute respiratory viruses that have become increasingly detected, particularly in China's northern provinces. It added it will continue monitoring the situation in cooperation with Chinese authorities. Thank you very much. WHO spokesperson Margaret Harris told reporters on Tuesday HMPV is not a new virus. She also said its mortality rate is very, very low. Indonesia is also forming a closer relationship with some other big players in the region. It's become the first Southeast Asian country to have full membership in the BRICS economic group, which includes Russia, India, and China. Brazil holds BRICS presidency this year. It welcomed Indonesia as a nation that shares support for reforming global governance and contributes to deepening cooperation in the global south. Indonesia's foreign ministry says joining BRICS shows it takes an active role in global issues and is committed to realizing a more inclusive and equitable global order. A number of other Southeast Asian nations have also shown interest in joining BRICS. The bloc has already expanded to include Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. Vietnam's government says the country's economy grew a little over 7% last year. That's higher than the target of 6 to 6.5%. The General Statistics Office released a report Monday. It says exports surged 14.3% year-on-year, led by shipments of electronics, smartphones, and clothing. Foreign investment inflows jumped 9.4%. Vietnam is seen as an attractive alternative to China. Foreign companies are offshoring there to reduce reliance on China under the so-called China Plus One strategy. Meanwhile, the buoyant U.S. economy has been good news for Vietnam, whose biggest export destination is America. But there's concern incoming U.S. President Trump will adopt protectionist policies, such as imposing tariffs that could hurt Vietnam's economy. The country's trade surplus with America more than doubled between 2016 and 2023, rising to the third largest globally, trailing only China and Mexico. A leading U.S. consulting firm has warned 2025 will be the most geopolitically dangerous year since the Cold War. The group says the top risk is the arrival of the so-called G-Zero world, where people face heightened geopolitical instability due to a lack of global leadership. The Eurasia Group announced its annual top risks list on Monday. The report was co-written by the group's president, Ian Bremmer. The report pointed out the incoming administration of U.S. President-elect Trump will accelerate America's abdication of its long-standing role as world sheriff, champion of free trade, and defender of global values. Regarding China, Bremmer said the country is focused much more internally and indicated it'll inevitably have to concentrate on economic and domestic issues. The group warned the lack of global leadership is growing critically dangerous.
And it makes this year the most dangerous year geopolitically, frankly, since the early Cold War or maybe even the 1930s.
Other risks include those related to Trump's return to office and the U.S.-China breakdown, as well as concerns about Russia, Iran, and artificial intelligence.
Those reports were from NHK World Radio Japan. On shortwave, they're heard at 9 p.m. at 11735 or on the web at www.3.nhk.or.jp, as well as most podcast sites. All the times I announce are for Pacific time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcasts, get a global perspective. You do have to look harder these days because of U.S. and EU prohibitions on media. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find information for online support. There's a link at my website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 28th year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. For 27 years, the Shortwave Report has been produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm still recuperating from spinal injuries, so I'm staying in a house that's connected to the grid. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.